My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Boys, put down your utensils. I want to talk to you about something real quick. If there's anything that you want to talk about, any kind of secrets, now's the time to put it on the table, okay? And if you tell me, we're not going to be mad.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I went to the petting zoo and I let the goat lick my
butt. Well, that, I
honey. Promise you wouldn't get mad, okay? They're being honest.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
One time I put a firefly on my butt.
Why?
To make my farts glow.
Oh, God.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I touched myself to Drew Carey on the bus, right?
God. Okay, that's enough. Stop, please.
The Fan.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Spray here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app. Live on YouTube as we are every day. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Thursday. Today's Thursday, right? Yeah, it's a Thursday.
It is Thursday. It feels like a Friday.
It is. I'm all lost and confused.
You've let's start. Coffee. You've been
I
ruined.
Got coffee on my headphones. It's just my whole day's over now. On the line is the host, You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Ken Barkley. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure to listen to the You Better You Bet podcast for more Ken Barkley's analysis. Just search You Bet wherever you find your podcast, at Lockie Lockerson on Twitter. Ken Barkley, good morning to you and congratulations on your Florida Panthers. How we feeling, Ken? Are we feeling good?
Yeah, we feel good. So your producer texted me the morning. What was that, Monday was games? God, this series took 9 weeks, it feels like.
Yes.
So Monday morning, he texts me and he's like, can you just, the guys really want to know, our viewers, just like, how you doing? Like, are you okay? Is everything all right? And I think I don't have it up in front of me, but I think I was like really confident in
you
game
were.
Seven.
Yes.
I was not confident in game five and game six. I actually bet against them on at least one of those games. And in game seven, I just, and this will play into something you guys actually pitch me all the time and I kind of shoot down, but I do think there are situations where it applies. Which is, so we can all, it's like the handshake emoji, like we're finding common ground here. In these really big, high-level championship events, when there is like a really significant market move, I mean, it's dead wrong like every single time. I mean, it's just always wrong. And this series,
the masses are asses? Is that what you're telling us, Ken? The masses are asses?
It's not like bet splits and who the public's on, because those aren't, you don't see that in the market. Like, you would have no idea who everybody was on, but like movement. So like the Panthers in game five were a huge favorite at home. I mean, big, like -160 for people who don't know what that means. Like, they were a really big favorite to win game five at home, and they lost, obviously. And in game seven, they opened like a pick, like 50-50 each way, and then Edmonton closed a favorite. And so you look and you just go, I mean, like, cool, you know, like Edmonton has played very well. What? Like, what are you talking about? And so when you see that, I mean, there's 100 examples of when you get to these just big-ass sporting events, just like if something like that, if everybody just kind of thinks and bets and it moves, something just like has to happen. Man, it seems like the opposite happens a lot of the time. So I actually woke up and I saw that in the market and I go, oh my God, like they're going to win. Like, oh my God. Which, not with any certainty, but I was like very encouraged because for the first time in the series, nobody wanted to bet them.
Yeah.
First time. Everybody wanted to bet the Panthers every game, the whole series. And then finally, they had enough stink on them because of what had happened in game six that everybody was like, nope, best player, McDavid. And it's like, ha ha ha, like got him. Like right at the death, we got him. So, yeah, it was awesome. It was a really fun day.
I found out something about 2 weeks ago, Ken, that you'd quite enjoy. And that was that my mother-in-law does not have my phone number in her phone. And so she never knows if I'm texting her or who I am when I call her, which is a little odd.
Oh, so you just show up as like 9257, whatever the numbers are. Yeah,
and I'm like, yo, I love you, and I'm your son-in-law. Seems like maybe, and I have two grandchildren of yours. Maybe my name should be
maybe
in your
I should
phone.
Be saved as a contact.
You.
Yeah,
I love you, and she's like, "Who's saying I love you? Like, who is this creepy
happy
guy
Mother's Day? Who's wishing me a Happy Mother's Day?"
Well, she is from Vietnam, so culturally, she's not as big on like "I love you too." Like, she never says it back to me.
It's understood. Yeah. It's understated.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Everybody knows what's going on.
My actions are my words. Shut up, white guy. But
right. Yeah.
As somebody who has sent you a care package and told you that I've seen your house, I understand we're not best friends. I don't produce the show. I host the show, and you clearly don't have my number in your phone because
he's a little offended by this right now.
The producer texts
you. You guys are basically neighbors, and you don't even have his phone number.
Yeah, that would be me, Brandon Sprague.
That's so bad.
Yeah, that's really bad.
Yeah. Well, you know what? But can I tell you something funny?
Yeah.
I have it in as just Portland. That's what I have it in as. So it's not the numbers. It's not like you know, it's like 625-1 whatever, and it's like some spam text.
Sure.
Portland.
Portland's reaching out. What does Portland want to know?
Portland's reaching out. Hello, like as if your name is like Jerry Portland. Yeah. And we're just like, we're talking right now. So all of you collectively are just like Gerald W. Portland.
Okay.
That's like your name.
You couldn't.
And so, I mean, to be fair, when one of you is reaching out, it's kind of like y'all are.
Yeah,
this
is true.
A big family over there, right?
This is true. This is how we operate.
You're not wrong. You couldn't put Salmon Boy in it just because I sent you the care package.
Or like, creepy neighbor.
Creepy neighbor. Yeah. That would have been funny.
Creepy guy staring at my house.
Cops immediately. Yeah, it's like notify police.
Yeah, he's texting me again. Hey, that's your barbecue and steaks tonight, Ken. Nice.
Yeah. So look at that Google Maps. You're going to see a lot of money now.
That's right. If we're acknowledging masses or asses, Ken, how long until we get an acknowledgement from you that there are Trap games, is that the next acknowledgement? Is Traps around the corner?
Well, you know what's funny, like, so is it a trap though? Because my thing is like, trap to me is like, well, the public's on something, but this wasn't like the public. This was like smart people and everyone, like all of, like it's like we all made like a big like heal the world circle of people, and it was just chanting like Edmonton Oilers, like that was happening in the game. Maybe like Earth got trapped. Like it wasn't like the public got, like this wasn't like Joe Public got trapped by
Earth
by
got
like
trapped
the Super Sharps or something, right? Like no, the Super Sharps got crunched too in this game because they've had Edmonton, and it just So I think it's maybe it's a trap, but then like my only thing is when the public gets in your fantasy world, when the public gets trapped, the Sharps are like, or Vegas is like doing the trapping.
Yeah.
Like there are other people. This one felt to me like, well, if everyone got trapped, who laid the trap? Right? This is almost like a metaphysical religious discussion, right?
we walked into our own trap here.
Yeah. There's a big bang. Well, who made the big bang? It's like, yeah, well, who did that? Like this is that. So maybe we need a new word. Maybe a trap is kind of like in that parlance, like public and Sharp and all that stuff. And this is, I don't know. Yeah, this is like the Blind Side or something, where everybody bets the same thing and it moves aggressively. And my team won, and it was great.
I think I'm going to call it the Elmer Fudd. It's just somebody laid the trap. Who's going to step in it? How are we feeling about this?
Be very quiet, right?
Yes,
I'm hunting panthers. Right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. A buddy of mine texted me a couple days ago, actually. I think you'll enjoy this. He did a $10 five-player parlay in baseball, and he picked five players to hit a home run. Just a $10 bet, a little small.
Okay? No. I'm into this. Okay. Were three of the players Ohtani, Gunnar Henderson, and Aaron Judge? Because every single night they hit a home run.
It's yes, they do.
Like, I text people and I go, "Am I like missing the boat? Just like every day, should I just be parlaying these players and like Bryce Harper and like three other players?"
Yeah. What are the odds on like an any given day home run bet?
So, well, I'll give it to you. So real quick. So these are the names he went with: Bryce Harper. Over, you know, half a
just
home run.
Just hit a home run.
5-1.
Yeah, to hit a home run.
Yes.
Yeah, to hit a home run.
Yandy Diaz. So he hit Harper. He hit Diaz. He hit once.
I don't know if I would have gone with Yandy Diaz.
But okay. They clobbered the Mariners. He hit a homer.
Yeah.
He went Juan Soto against the Mets in the first game. He hit on that one.
Sure.
Springer hit one against the Sox. Adley Rutschman was 5-1 as well. He was the only one to not hit of the five. His $10 bet would have been $95,000 had Adley Rutschman gone yard on that. And I only say that to ask you this. I threw this to my wife. I said, what would we do if I won $95,000? And we rattled off some stuff. What is Ken Barkley doing with his presumed $90,000 Florida Panther cash winnings? What are you doing with your money?
So I don't want to talk like I'm super rich, like in life, but like I'm doing really well. Like things are going great, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think you reach a point where it's like not like nothing, kind of like I'm just good, you know, like say everything's kind of in
need
the right
anything.
Place, the accounts are full, and
yeah,
kids are happy, and you know, like the college funds are getting filled up, and the retirement's good, and the you know the house is good, and it's just like. All right, so like, what, like T-bills? Like, what are we going with here? I mean, I don't know. So I also, something about me, I am a very, 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 like, minimalist, not materialistic person.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't even, it's not that I don't own these things. Like, I don't like watches. Like, I don't even want to own one. I don't want a nice one. I think the whole thing is stupid. I know what time it is. Like, I got it. So, and then, like, a car. Like, you know what I want in a car? Something that when I have to bring it in for the next like 10 years, seven times a year to get it fixed, that it's not that expensive to do that. That's what I'd like to do. Cause like, cool. Like I could go buy a Ferrari. Like I could just go buy one right now. But then, and then like every 3 months I'd have to put like $8,000 in it to get like a screw replaced or something. Right. It's like, sounds so fun to do that. Yeah. That sounds awesome. Like I have gradually upgraded that. My wife has made me upgrade the wardrobe. That has happened many times, actually, in the last couple of years. So, like, that's happened. I no longer, like, I had a sweatshirt that I wore in high school still that was, like, in the rotation still. It was, like, still that sweater that I had.
How old are you, Ken? How old are you?
39.
39. Oh, wow. That made it a long time. Pretty proud that it still fit, though, right?
It made it too long.
Yeah.
Too long is the right term. Yeah, I made it too. So, like, you know, like, we do some sprucing up and some upgrading, but honestly, like, you know what all the money's going back? And I have a home run story for a second. You know what all the money's going back to? More betting.
Yeah.
That's, like, that's where it goes. That's
okay.
What happens in this stuff. So, I have a story. What did your friend's parlay? What was that going to pay?
It was going to pay $95K.
So first of all, I think you think that I'm going to be like poo-poo this idea that you should put in these parlays. I think this stuff's really fun.
Yes.
I think if you want to put in one of these, I think home run parlays, I used to go to Mohegan Sun, a casino here in Connecticut, with a friend of mine, and we would put in like 50 of these things, and then we would go to like a steak dinner, and we would turn home run notifications on, and it would our phones would only go off if there was a home run. Like there's a Twitter account like MLB HR or whatever. So we would only, like, the phone would only light up if it was a home run. And let me tell you, like, eating steaks and then, like, you're just wait, like, whenever you get the buzz, like, whenever it you don't see who it is because you have to, like, use your eyes to unlock the phone or whatever. You don't know who it is. And in that moment, it's kind of like when the lottery drawing takes place, right? Like it could be your guy. Like, that could be
a hell of a night right there. Steaks and home runs. Let's go. That's a good Friday right there.
Like, so I'm all in on this. I have a parlay now that pays like $106,000, and it needs one more thing to happen.
Whoa.
And
can you tell us?
It won't happen for a very long time. So it was like a couple things that have already happened, and then the Panthers in game 7. And Tennessee to win the College World Series, which I was also really big on. So all those have come in. And the fifth thing is actually next year's NBA title.
It's
actually, because I was like, I have a theory. I think the Thunder are going to win the title next year. That's my theory.
The Thunder?
And I do. Yeah, they're like 9-1 right now. They're like the fourth choice. I think they're going to be the best team in the regular season. I think they might actually be the best team in the league next year. I think Boston will be a little tired, but still really good. I like the Thunder a lot. And I wanted to find a way to create this big bet on the Thunder, like going in, so I didn't have to bet them anymore. And I have done so, thanks to the Panthers, thanks to Tennessee, thanks to these other things.
Yeah.
So there is just this like anvil weight bet sitting in my pending wagers where it's like, oh, you like a little bit of money on that, a little bit of money on that to win 106,000 on the Thunder. Like, okay, cool, whatever. Hey, you're just like going through, you just go, wait, what? Like you like triple take every time you see it. So, you know, like who knows what the future of like me calling in every Thursday, you guys, me, whatever. If we make it to next June, let's just like all cross our fingers that like if the Thunder lift the trophy,
yeah,
that thing's coming in. So that'll be really good.
That's awesome. Well, you turned a lot of people in our audience into Florida Panther fans. That's how much they love you. And it was awesome.
And thanks to them, by the way, I got more follows and like DMs and messages. Like, I mean, the Portland market was, you know, when they put out the ratings, like who watched the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, it was exploding out here, man.
Oh, like Miami at Alberta, Canada. And then number three, it's like Portland, Oregon. What the hell were those people doing?
We love Kim Barkley, man.
I love it.
Ken Barkley is his name, at Locky Lockerson. Go listen to You Better You Bet. They're awesome, and it's brought to you, as always, by BetGM. BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I want to get into Rookie of the Year stuff in the NBA, but we are completely out of time. We'll do that next week. Congrats on the big win, Ken. Always a joy. We'll chat again next Thursday.
Sounds good. I'm off for like 3 weeks going forward.
Oh, next week's the 4th of July. Yeah, no, we're off too. I'm an idiot.
And then I'm off like the whole month. Yeah,
okay.
Like I'm out.
So well, we'll chat to you.
I'll see you guys. I'll give you a one-word answer. What is the one betting thing that you wanted to know the answer to?
NBA Rookie of the Year odds.
Oh, God, I haven't even looked at it yet.
No.
someone on a team with no one else that's good.
Okay, there you go. Have a great vacation, buddy. We'll check in later this summer.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Ken Barkley. It's a cool 106K just waiting on Oklahoma City to win the NBA title next year.
I know we're against it, but like, that guy has $500,000 in the bank account, doesn't he?
I mean, he won a lot of money.
It sounds like he's very good at gambling.
Just funny when you ask how much my ticket of Edmonton would have, you know, like the comparison. It's like, dude, I don't even know how many times that would take to get to how much more he's going to make than me.
He casually just wrote, no, could I buy a Ferrari? Sure.
Sure. Things are going good.
I wish I could buy a Ferrari.
Things are going good. Let's reset a little bit from yesterday. We'll get to Washington. We're going to go to D.C. at the bottom of the hour. Back after this on The Fam.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, welcome back in. Don't have much time here. We are going to go bottom of the hour and get the thoughts from Washington, D.C. Chase Hughes is going to join us. He's covered the Wizards. He also covers the NBA draft. So what's the reaction been in D.C. towards the trade? And we will get to that coming up here in about 10 minutes. I do want to take a quick peek because I don't know if we're going to have time in the final segment. We, of course, have to talk about Oregon's new uniforms. Everybody wants to talk about it. It's probably a bigger deal than what the Blazers did yesterday, if we're being honest here. Come on, what are we doing?
I got a duck uniform question that I think only you could answer.
And we'll just kind of tease because we're off tomorrow. There will be people keep asking. There will be a show. We're just both off tomorrow. I'm going down on a golf trip. It's your wife's birthday. You guys are heading out of town. Swag will be here doing the show.
I will be hosting, and Ortner will be in with me. Schultzy will be producing.
There you go.
So we'll break down day two. Travis Demers is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. So
there will be a live show. Swag's going to be here. It's not a best of. It's not national programming.
No.
We're just
we'll
taking
be live in case the Blazers, you know, do more stuff. We'll see if what we think the second round player is.
Yeah.
Whatever else happens in the draft, and then we'll see what else we got time for.
So I threw out a couple poll questions yesterday. One of them I had a lot of fun with because I was in the camp of who the hell is this guy? I've never heard of him before, but everybody's telling me he's great. The Blazers added Denny Avdija. Now, am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Avdija. Okay. Just want to make sure.
Avdija.
I threw out a poll question yesterday. Did you know who Denny Avdija was 3 hours ago? Now, this was after the trade was executed. So 3 hours ago. Did you know? I didn't want to grade the trade. I didn't want any takes. Just simply, did you know who he was? And I appreciated the honesty. Now, a lot of people came out of the like, oh, look at you casuals. You casuals. Like, shut up. You weren't watching Wizards basketball last year. Just shut it, okay? I don't want to hear your crap.
Why are you getting all offended?
The casual stuff pisses me off. Like, I need to know who a small forward is on a 20-win team in D.C. If he wasn't traded to Portland, he is the most irrelevant player to us imaginable. Like, just, I can't stand those people. Okay. Did you know who he was? I'm glad with the honesty. 62.9%. No, did not know who he is.
Yeah.
And now we do.
Yeah.
We get to go buy our Avdija jerseys.
I don't know if I'm doing that. I heard a snippet from Zach Lowe's pod with Gavoni, and they talked about the Klingon move, and he touched on this, and he graded it a B, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think that's about where I landed on it, too. You gave up 2 firsts, 2 seconds, and Malcolm Brogdon, but it's the context matters. Who cares about second-round picks when you got 9 of them?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cared about the 14th pick yesterday. Malcolm was meh last year, in my opinion. You kind of wonder where his clock is, if it's ticking at all. And 2029 is 5 years from now. I'm not concerned about 5 years from now, especially when you have 3 in that same draft in that round. They got a position of need. I had heard of Denny Avdija. I watched him play in person last year. I know he had a good year. I'm not going to act like I watched a ton of him. I'm not going to act like I watched very many Wizards basketball games.
I don't think they were a hot commodity on NBA League Pass the last couple of years. I was going to go out on a limb and say that of like, sometimes there's bad teams, but you're like, hey, they're kind of entertaining to watch. Maybe I'll check them out. They were not in that category.
Well, they're trying to be bad.
They're trying to be bad.
And they were active yesterday, man.
They were.
They traded up. They went and got a lot of players.
We have another Cooper Flagg contender. Brooklyn has thrown their hat in the mix, and Washington was already in the mix, but now they're even more in the mix.
I think Detroit is still going to be in the mix.
Oh, Detroit's going to be god-awful, too.
We're going to be in a 5-6 team race here.
Vicious
because
battle.
Of that draft, and it might not just be Flagg. There's other names to watch in that draft. But to the Avdija point, it's a position of need desperately with Klingon. Should help you defensively be better than what you were. He's right on the timeline.
23 years old.
It's the most team-friendly contract that you could ask for a player, I think, of his caliber. You know, we can't nit. You can be unhappy with the franchise. You cannot like certain things. I still hate the coaching situation. If they're going to get you stuff that you do need along the way, even if you think it's a slight overpay, it's still like we've been searching for a 6'9 wing. It's what we wanted out of that draft.
Mm-hmm.
And they got it. And they got it from a guy that's already played in this league and shown what he can do in this league.
Yep.
And you just hope going forward that he gets enough touches and continues to rise with the ceiling. I like it. I thought it was a good move. I thought it was a move that was necessary. And now we wait to see what they do with some of their other veterans, because I think there's going to be some real room here where they trade maybe a couple more names as well.
And I think to the overpay argument, we'll go to D.C. here in a moment because they have a different feeling about this of why the hell did we trade this guy. But I think on the overpay argument, even if I want to bring that up, a lot of that is tied to where does he go? Like, does he continue to improve? Does he build on the year he had last year and go shoot 39% from three? Does he go from 15-7 to 18-8 next season? And you're like, damn, he's only 24.
Yeah.
Because that overpay argument, and yes, I brought it up, two first-round picks and Brogdon. It's like, okay, that's a lot for a guy I've never heard of before. That's part of the reaction. I've never heard of him. But also, it evaporates if he continues to develop and evolve, which is clearly what Portland is banking on. And Schmitz loved him when he came out of the draft in 2020. We had threw one up on Donovan Klingon as well, seventh pick. Just how do you feel, simply put? Pretty unanimous. About 75% of the audience saying they either love it or they like it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of an even split there, 38-37%. 20% or so gave it a, we'll see, wait and see.
Okay.
And then a very small percentage of people did not like the pick. And for those, I'd be curious to know why. Maybe you just wanted a different position. Maybe it's the centers being drafted by Portland that always gets you skittish. I'm not sure in a bad draft why you would not like that pick. But pretty universal love there for that one. Let's go to D.C. Let's find out more about Avdija and what they're feeling in terms of the return that they got. And did they get fleeced? Because that's been kind of the sentiment I've seen online. Chase Hughes from D.C., he's going to hop on. That's next. All right, welcome back in. The NBA draft started yesterday at 5, but about an hour and a half, hour before, reports of a trade started to surface that the Blazers were making a move and adding a wing. And let's go to D.C. to find out more potentially about that player. Denny Avdija was added via the Washington Wizards. Chase Hughes joins us now at Chase D.C. Sports on Twitter, part of the Wizards broadcasting crew, covers the NBA draft as well. Chase, thanks for the time out here in Portland, man. I got to be honest with you. Now, I threw up a poll question on our show Twitter account because we haven't watched a lot of Washington's Wizards basketball the last couple of years, and so I hear this name, and I'm like, the Blazers have added a wing. I've never heard of this guy before. And then you start looking in, okay, he's lottery pick, had a really good year last year. What do we know about Denny Avdija, and where did things turn for him? Because he's been in the league for 4 years, but clearly a much different player last year for the Wizards than he was in the first three.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. So it all began back in 2020. Denny Avdija was a really highly rated prospect in that draft. Coming out of Israel, he played in the EuroLeague for Maccabi Tel Aviv. And, you know, some of the mock drafts had him in the mix to be the second or third overall pick. The Warriors had the second pick, ended up going with James Wiseman, but they reportedly really, really liked him. So he had this sort of unexpected fall on draft night. And the Wizards actually tried to trade up to get him. They tried to trade up to number four with the Chicago Bulls and weren't able to, and were really surprised that he fell to them at number nine. And he came in and right away won the starting job as their small forward and battled some inconsistency over the first 3 years of his career. Wasn't a great outside shooter, really kind of found his way first on the defensive end. But this past year, right after signing a contract extension, took a huge step forward. I think it was, you know, I've watched the Wizards and I've covered them for a really long time. I think it's the biggest step forward a young player has made on their team in maybe a decade, probably going back to like when Bradley Beal was early in his career. So Wizards fans and the Wizards were really pleased with his development. He signed the deal. It was starting to look like a bargain. But I think the Wizards, are trying to get even younger and really take the long view with this rebuild. So they felt like they could part with him for the draft picks.
The funny part about what you just said, Chase, is I follow somebody that does a Warriors-related pod, and he's a pretty honest person when it comes to Warrior talk, and he saw this, and he quote-tweeted and said, "That's it. Damn." I think they also regret taking James Wiseman and not maybe tapping into this. It's interesting. We got a mixed reaction, it feels like, at times here. Now, social media is probably not a good snapshot of how everybody feels. I'm curious, how have Wizards fans been handling all of this? Obviously, they're going a different direction, as you mentioned, with the youth. But he had just kind of maybe tapped into what he is as a player. How have you seen Wizards fans handle this?
Yeah, he's been a fan favorite, I would say, from the very beginning. You know, he's got a huge following that comes from Israel, but also just people around the globe of Jewish faith. And he really, takes pride in representing a lot of people that is just bigger than basketball. And he's also just a very likable guy. So I think fans, really appreciated how nice of a person he is and how down to earth he is. And, you know, just watching the progression and having seen so many young players come through Washington, a lot of them not reach their potential, and to see a guy starting to put the pieces together, begin as a versatile defensive wing, and then start to unlock the, you know, the ball handling and the passing skills that he showed as a draft prospect, and become a good outside shooter and become, you know, a two-way wing at 6'9", which is a pretty valuable player. So I think fans were sad to kind of see the news at first, but, you know, the Wizards ended up having a good night last night that I think a lot of fans really appreciate them drafting Bob Carrington with the 14th overall pick and just getting three first-round picks in this draft, given where the Wizards are in their rebuild, and knowing the sort of unpredictability of this draft, taking three bites at the apple increases your odds of getting a good player. So I think it's like kind of your head versus your heart. A lot of fans are sad to see Denny Avdija get traded, but they understand that there is some reasoning behind it.
Interesting. We're talking with Chase Hughes out in D.C. covering the Wizards at Chase D.C. Sports on Twitter. You mentioned him finding his groove on the defensive end and then the offense kind of following. Last year, just a massive jump in three-point shooting. I mean, 29% the year before, up to almost 38%. I mean, that is a big-time jump. He's a career about 32% three-point shooter. What do we make of his game and being able to stretch the floor? Is this just the beginning? Was that an outlier? How do we feel about his ability to shoot the basketball?
I think it was a breakthrough. You know, he's a really honest person and kind of wears his emotions on his sleeve, not only during games, but in press conferences, and he's kind of an open book. And, you know, he's talked to us about how frustrated he was not having that breakthrough as a shooter through the first 3 years of his career, because you hear from coaches and teammates that, you know, he's the type of guy who will be in the gym late at night. I mean, he puts in extra time, probably as much as any player on the team, and it just hadn't really broken through for him in the first 3 years. But finally this year, the shot started to fall, and you know, he has made some adjustments to his mechanics over the years. He had kind of a slow release when he first got into the league. He shortened that a little bit. And I think it's a matter of also just confidence coming from the work that he's put in. And he's become a good shooter. Now, he's at his best, I would say, in transition, because it's 6'9". He's really fast for his size. And this past year, a big part of his development was just realizing that he's got a physical advantage over a lot of opposing players, especially when he's on the move. So, you know, he kind of learned how to play bully ball in transition, where a guy's standing in the way in the lane and he just goes right through him. So that combination, the ability to handle the ball with speed, shoot from the outside, and finish through contact at the rim, has made him a very dangerous offensive player.
Chase, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, buddy, but you're in D.C. and all the way out here in Portland, you're making me feel things that I can't describe over the airwaves with his game right now.
We've been built around small guards. Somebody being physically dominant is not something we're used to.
Let me ask you this. I always want to play fair and try to kind of both sides it a little bit for the crowd that's still a little maybe questioning this. What is an area of concern or area that you're like, hey, I still think maybe this is a spot where he needs to improve? What would that be, having watched him?
I'd say in the half court offensively, he's still got some room to grow. The Wizards played really fast this past year. They were number one in the league in pace. And when he was coming out of the draft, that was the first thing that stood out to me when I watched his film, was just his speed and his control and his court vision when he was on the move in transition. But, you know, in the half court, you know, they tried to work him in as like a point forward, especially late in the year when they've had injuries to their point guards. They've even had him play point guard a few games. And when things get crowded, he kind of struggles a little bit with turnovers. He's not quite as good as getting to the rim. So when it's in open space, he's great. But if he's on a team, and I don't know where the pace of the Blazers were in pace last year, but, you know, that's, I think, the next step for him, because he put up really good numbers last year, both in terms of volume and efficiency. But I think a lot of it was the product of the way the Wizards played. So, you know, when things slow down, especially, you know, as we all know, if you get to the playoffs, things definitely slow down. Can he have that same impact? Can he have the same impact when he's on a team that has better offensive scoring options around him and he's not, you know, one of the top guys? That's what I think we'll have to watch in the coming years.
Interesting.
We've never been fast. They've always said they want to be fast. We've never been fast.
So maybe this will help get us over the hump. Great stuff, man. Great insight. Chase Hughes, go give him a follow on Twitter at Chase DC Sports, part of the Wizards broadcasting crew and covering the NBA draft and the Wizards for a long time. Thanks so much for the time out in Portland, man. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good stuff. Chase Hughes with good praise, man, on the newest Blazer. They obviously added two guys yesterday, Klingon, but Avdija was the first one, and a guy that is probably going to make an impact right away and should make an impact right away. Doesn't think that last year's offensive production was an outlier. Think it's a building block for the direction that he's going. A good defender. That's about as good of a review as you could get from somebody who's covered him closely for the last 4 years.
They're trying to find culture, right? And one of the things I think you got with culture with Cronin and at least the Cron zone is guys to compete. He said it last night, like, we're bringing Klingon in because we want a team of ultra competitors. I think of New York when I think of something like that, and I don't know if that's where this team is yet, obviously, but knowing you got a guy that wants to be the hardest worker on a team and do whatever it can and put in the sweat equity, and he's 6'9". Yeah, I mean, I continue to like that trade.
So let's wrap up our conversation on this Thursday, get you set for day two of the NBA draft, and we'll close it up next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. It's been a fun show. I always love the post-draft show. It's one of the easiest ones of the year.
We won a championship, man.
We won a title yesterday. We're feeling good. Hang a banner. Are we winning another one in Vegas? We are the dynasty of Summer League, are we not?
The Klinger might do it.
The Klinger could do it.
Oh, definitely. You got to put odds on Klingon to be Summer League MVP.
MVP,
that's
dominate
what
the dojo.
We produce in Portland is Summer League MVP.
This is what we do, baby.
I will say, when Chase was describing Avdija's game, I did see Swag perk up in a way that I haven't seen in years.
You excited over there, Swagard? You feeling good?
I was just thinking about, okay, how many times did I see Scoot out on a break with nobody next to him? Trying to finish through three guys. So I know he wants to play fast.
Yeah.
This guy wants to play fast.
Yeah.
I think Shaden would love to play fast. So just finally, maybe we'll see the Blazers actually follow through on wanting to be a transition team.
The next questions that I have for the offseason are, will I be able to watch them on television next year?
I mean, it's June. Can we talk about that in August?
Well, I'm just bringing it up.
You got
a team
it up
now. That,
yesterday, all you do is bring this up.
You got a team.
I also don't have cable, by the way.
Yeah, I want to be able to watch the local team. That'd be great.
Why don't you get season tickets and shut up.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Get that Ken Barkley money.
I'd rather burn money. I hope I'm able to watch young team Klingon. I think you're going to make some other trades that I'm a fan of. So you got me back in, at least curious to watch and see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now, will I be able to actually do that? It's a big question for me in my life.
Well, and I think for anybody that's like skeptical and doesn't buy it and is like trying to act like we're taking this to a level that I don't think we really are, all legitimacy is they're not going to be very good still.
They shouldn't be. I want them to be the worst team in the NBA next year.
Well, they won't be, but they'll be really bad. And I think the part of it for me is like, this is what kind of does get you to watch a 26-win team. It's this.
Yes.
Yes.
It's seeing Klingon develop.
Yes. Young guys.
It's seeing Avdija. It's seeing what Scoot is year two. Sharp staying healthy, hopefully, for
year
three.
Can a distinctive style of play be developed?
Well, that's the other thing.
You don't have a coach.
And
Sprague has said that throughout the day. The one big bummer is it feels like we're not in sync there.
It's a lame duck year, and I didn't want to. Never mind.
Do it, Dirt. Do it. Go down that road.
I'm not sure Chauncey's really that is excited about doing this for one more year.
Of course he's not. He knows he's going to get fired.
Yeah.
He knows that if they wanted to keep him around long term,
it would be not picking up an option and parting ways.
If they wanted him to be around long term, they would have picked up the option by now. They don't. He knows that they're going to win 20 games next year.
Yeah.
He knows that they're openly tanking, and he's not going to be kept around. They're not going to pick up his option. We all know how this is going to play out, which is why it's so frustrating that Jody just doesn't simply say, here's $5 million. Thanks for your 3 years. Let's find somebody that can grow and develop with our young core of players that we are now clearly building around Scoot, Shaden, Avdija, Klingon, whoever else they get today, whatever other moves that they make. Let's start piecing this thing back together instead of having a year where you're not going to develop the culture and style of play with a head coach who's going to be around long-term with the young guys.
Very quickly, because I want to get your Duck football jersey reaction since all we've talked about is the Blazers and basketball.
Yeah.
Should I...
That's what I did yesterday.
Really?
I loved them, yeah.
I don't think they're awful, but I
here comes Beaver Sprague. Gonna poo-poo the unis. Oh, can't wait to hear. Sports bras over there. Didn't like them, huh?
Yeah, we got rid of them. We didn't bring them back. Should I follow Burt Cold back on Twitter?
Burt Cold followed you on Twitter?
Late last night.
Ah.
And I thought, is this a man? Really?
Sure, why not? What does Burt Cold tweet?
I
would be more curious about that than anything else.
Should I DM him? Thanks for the follow, Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Let's share stories of college.
Hey, Bert. I'll be Ernie.
Scrub my back. Rubber ducky. Bert, why are you so mad, Bert? Is it because we're in a relationship and we can't tell anybody?
I think that's a follow back. Follow him back.
Okay.
See, let's get Bert on the show.
I knew that they were in a relationship when I was a child. Yeah, and I was like, why don't you guys just
admit take long this, to figure that one out.
You like them, though.
I love them, dude. I love them.
Okay.
Love them. I like the connection to the past. The diamond plate bringing it back's great. Wings are cool. I got zero issues with them.
I was curious what direction they were going to go with them because it was kind of being teased.
Yeah.
They had the Phil Knight thing that they sent out, but...
Yeah, they've been teasing this for a while.
Yeah, I like
That's
the diamond
just one.
Plate.
We got other ones coming, too.
I gotta be honest, I like the diamond plate.
The diamond plate's a heyday of Oregon football. I mean, those are great. So.
I have bad flashbacks of those feathers.
Yeah, the feathers were a thing. I'm not as big on the feathers. I'm glad that the diamond plate's on there.
Yeah.
The diamond plate was a must.
Not as bad as putting the goose on the court instead of an actual duck.
Oh, God. Would you shut up?
Did you notice that?
Would you shut up over there? Hey, that'll do it for us. Swag's going to be here tomorrow, breaking down round two of the NBA draft. We're both off.
A swaggy edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Edition. It's a producer's edition. All the producers.
That's right. The producer's
we'll
edition.
Here. Who knows? You might get some NHL day one draft previews as well.
There you go.
Can you not? Okay.
There right. you go.
You do whatever you want to do.
There I said maybe.
Maybe. He's not guaranteeing it. Maybe. That will do it for us, folks. I'm off to play in a golf tournament. Sprague's off for the weekend. So we will talk to you all on Monday. Thanks, everybody, for YouTube numbers have been great. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so. Go check the podcast. Three great guests today. Awesome show. Fun show. Thanks for being a part of it. We will talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. Call on us next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, welcome back in. The NBA draft started yesterday at 5, but about an hour and a half, hour before, reports of a trade started to surface that the Blazers were making a move and adding a wing. And let's go to D.C. to find out more potentially about that player. Denny Avdija was added via the Washington Wizards. Chase Hughes joins us now at Chase D.C. Sports on Twitter, part of the Wizards broadcasting crew, covers the NBA draft as well. Chase, thanks for the time out here in Portland, man. I got to be honest with you. Now, I threw up a poll question on our show Twitter account because we haven't watched a lot of Washington's Wizards basketball the last couple of years. And so I hear this name and I'm like, the Blazers have added a wing. I've never heard of this guy before. And then you start looking in, okay, he's lottery pick, had a really good year last year. What do we know about Denny Avdija and where did things turn for him? Because he's been in the league for 4 years, but clearly a much different player last year for the Wizards than he was in the first three.
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. So it all began back in 2020. Denny Avdija was a really highly rated prospect in that draft. Coming out of Israel, he played in the EuroLeague for Maccabi Tel Aviv. And, you know, some of the mock drafts had him in the mix to be the second or third overall pick. The Warriors had the second pick, ended up going with James Wiseman, but they reportedly really, really liked him. So he had this sort of unexpected fall on draft night. And the Wizards actually tried to trade up to get him. They tried to trade up to number four with the Chicago Bulls and weren't able to and were really surprised that he fell to them at number nine. And he came in and right away won the starting job as their small forward and battled some inconsistency over the first 3 years of his career. Wasn't a great outside shooter. Really kind of found his way first on the defensive end. But this past year, right after signing a contract extension, took a huge step forward. I think it was, you know, I've watched the Wizards and I've covered them for a really long time. I think it's the biggest step forward a young player has made on their team in maybe a decade, probably going back to like when Bradley Beal was early in his career. So Wizards fans and the Wizards were really pleased with his development. He signed the deal. It was starting to look like a bargain. But I think the Wizards, you know, are trying to get even younger and really take the long view with this rebuild. So they felt like they could part with him for the draft picks.
The funny part about what you just said, Chase, is I follow somebody that does a Warriors-related pod, and he's a pretty honest person when it comes to Warrior talk, and he saw this, and he quote-tweeted and said, "That's it. Damn." I think they also regret taking James Wiseman and not maybe tapping into this. It's interesting. We got a mixed reaction, it feels like, at times here. Now, social media is probably not a good snapshot of how everybody feels. I'm curious, how have Wizards fans been handling all of this? Obviously, they're going a different direction, as you mentioned, with the youth. But he had just kind of maybe tapped into what he is as a player. How have you seen Wizards fans handle this?
Yeah, he's been a fan favorite, I would say, from the very beginning. You know, he's got a huge following that comes from Israel, but also just people around the globe of Jewish faith. And he really, you know, takes pride in representing a lot of people that is just bigger than basketball. And he's also just a very likable guy. So I think fans, you know, really appreciated how nice of a person he is and how down to earth he is. And, you know, just watching the progression and having seen so many young players come through Washington, a lot of them not reach their potential, and to see a guy starting to put the pieces together, begin as a versatile defensive wing, and then start to unlock the, you know, the ball handling and the passing skills that he showed as a draft prospect, and become a good outside shooter, and become, you know, a two-way wing at 6'9", which is a pretty valuable player. So I think fans were sad to kind of see the news at first, but you know, the Wizards ended up having a good night last night that I think a lot of fans really appreciate them drafting Bob Carrington with the 14th overall pick and just getting three first-round picks in this draft, given where the Wizards are in their rebuild, and knowing the sort of unpredictability of this draft, taking three bites at the apple increases your odds of getting a good player. So I think it's like kind of your head versus your heart. A lot of fans are sad to see Denny Avdia get traded, but they understand that there is some reasoning behind it.
Interesting. We're talking with Chase Hughes out in D.C. covering the Wizards at Chase D.C. Sports on Twitter. You mentioned him finding his groove on the defensive end and then the offense kind of following. Last year, just a massive jump in three-point shooting. I mean, 29% the year before, up to almost 38%. I mean, that is a big-time jump. He's a career about 32% three-point shooter. What do we make of his game and being able to stretch the floor? Is this just the beginning? Was that an outlier? How do we feel about his ability to shoot the basketball?
I think it was a breakthrough. You know, he's a really honest person and kind of wears his emotions on his sleeve, not only during games, but in press conferences. And he's kind of an open book. And, you know, he's talked to us about how frustrated he was not having that breakthrough as a shooter through the first 3 years of his career, because you hear from coaches and teammates that, you know, he's the type of guy who will be in the gym late at night. I mean, he puts in extra time, probably as much as any player on the team. And it just hadn't really broken through for him in the first 3 years. But finally this year, the shot started to fall. And, you know, he has made some adjustments to his mechanics over the years. He had kind of a slow release when he first got into the league. He shortened that a little bit. And I think it's a matter of also just confidence coming from the work that he's put in. And he's become a good shooter. Now, he's at his best, I would say, in transition, because it's 6'9". He's really fast for his size. And this past year, a big part of his development was just realizing that he's got a physical advantage over a lot of opposing players, especially when he's on the move. So, you know, he kind of learned how to play bully ball in transition, where a guy's standing in the way in the lane and he just goes right through him. So that combination, the ability to handle the ball with speed, shoot from the outside, and finish through contact at the rim, has made him a very dangerous offensive player.
Hmm. Chase, I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, buddy, but you're in D.C. and all the way out here in Portland, you're making me feel things that I can't describe over the airwaves with his game right now.
We've been built around small guards. Somebody being physically dominant is not something we're used to.
let me ask you this. I always want to play fair and try to kind of both sides it a little bit for the crowd that's still a little maybe questioning this. What is an area of concern or area that you're like, hey, I still think maybe this is a spot where he needs to improve? What would that be, having watched him?
I'd say in the half court offensively, he's still got some room to grow. The Wizards played really fast this past year. They were number one in the league in pace. And when he was coming out of the draft, that was the first thing that stood out to me when I watched his film, was just his speed and his control and his court vision when he was on the move in transition. But, you know, in the half court, you know, they've tried to work him in as like a point forward, especially late in the year when they've had injuries to their point guards. They've even had him play point guard a few games. And when things get crowded, he kind of struggles a little bit with turnovers. He's not quite as good as getting to the rim. So when it's in open space, he's great. But if he's on a team, and I don't know where the pace or the Blazers were in pace last year, but, you know, that's, I think, the next step for him, because he put up really good numbers last year, both in terms of volume and efficiency. But I think a lot of it was the product of the way the Wizards played. So, you know, when things slow down, especially, you know, as we all know, if you get to the playoffs, things definitely slow down. Can he have that same impact? Can he have the same impact when he's on a team that has better offensive scoring options around him and he's not, you know, one of the top guys? That's what I think we'll have to watch in the coming years.
Interesting. We've never been fast. They've always said they want to be fast. We've never been fast.
So maybe this will help get us over the hump. Great stuff, man. Great insight. Chase Hughes, go give him a follow on Twitter at Chase DC Sports, part of the Wizards broadcasting crew and covering the NBA draft and the Wizards for a long time. Thanks so much for the time out in Portland, man. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good stuff. Chase Hughes with good praise, man, on the newest Blazer. They obviously added two guys yesterday, Klingon, but Avdia was the first one, and a guy that is probably going to make an impact right away and should make an impact right away. Doesn't think that last year's offensive production was an outlier. Think it's a building block for the direction that he's going. A good defender. That's about as good of a review as you could get from somebody who's covered him closely for the last 4 years.
They're trying to find culture, right? And one of the things I think you got with culture with Cronin, and at least the Cron zone, is guys to compete. He said it last night, like, we're bringing Klingon in because we want a team of ultra competitors. I think of New York when I think of something like that, and I don't know if that's where this team is yet, obviously, but knowing you got a guy that wants to be the hardest worker on a team and do whatever it can and put in the sweat, equity, and he's 6'9", Yeah, I mean, I continue to like that trade.
So let's wrap up our conversation on this Thursday. Get you set for day two of the NBA draft, and we'll close it up next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. It's been a fun show. I always love the post-draft show. It's one of the easiest ones of the year.
We won a championship, man.
We won a title yesterday. We're feeling good. Hang a banner. We went in another one in Vegas. We are the dynasty of summer league, are we not?
The Klinger might do it.
The Klinger could do it.
Definitely. You got to put odds on Klingon to be Summer League MVP.
That's dominate
what
the
we
dojo.
Produce in Portland is Summer League MVP.
This is what we do, baby.
I will say when Chase was describing Avdija's game, I did see Swag perk up in a way that I haven't seen in years.
You excited over there, Swaggard? You feeling good?
I was just thinking about, okay, how many times did I see Scoot out on a break with nobody next to him? Trying to finish through three guys. So I know he wants to play fast.
Yeah.
This guy wants to play fast.
Yeah.
I think Shaden would love to play fast. So just finally, maybe we'll see the Blazers actually follow through on wanting to be a transition team.
The next questions that I have for the offseason are, will I be able to watch them on television next year?
I mean, it's June. Can we talk about that in August?
Well, I'm just bringing it up. You got a team
it up
now.
Yesterday, all you do is bring this up.
You got a team.
I also don't have cable, by the way.
Yeah, I want to be able to watch the local team. That'd be great.
Get season tickets and shut up.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Let's get that Ken Barkley money.
I'd rather burn money. I hope I'm able to watch young team clinging. I think you're going to make some other trades that I'm a fan of. So you got me back in at least curious to watch and see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now will I be able to actually do that? It's a big question for me in my life.
Well, and I think for anybody that's like skeptical and doesn't buy it and is like trying to act like we're taking this to a level that I don't think we really are, all legitimacy is they're not going to be very good still.
They shouldn't be. I want them to be the worst team in the NBA next year.
Well, they won't be, but they'll be really bad. And I think the part of it for me is like, this is what kind of does get you to watch a 26-win team. It's this.
Yes.
Yes.
It's seeing Klingon develop.
Yes. Young guys.
It's seeing Avdija. It's seeing what Scoot is year two. Sharp staying healthy, hopefully, for
year
three.
Can a distinctive style of play be developed?
Well, that's the other thing. You don't have a coach.
And Sprague has said that throughout the day. Yeah, the one big bummer is it feels like we're not in sync coach. There.
Yeah. It's a lame duck year, and I don't. Yeah, I didn't want to. Never mind.
Do it. Go down that road.
I'm not sure Chauncey's really that is excited about doing this for one more year.
Of course he's not. He knows he's going to get fired.
Yeah.
He knows that if they wanted to keep him around long term,
it would be fired. It would be not picking up an option and parting ways.
If they wanted him to be around long term, they would have picked up the option by now. They don't. He knows that they're going to win 20 games next year.
Yeah.
He knows that they're openly tanking, and he's not going to be kept around. They're not going to pick up his option. We all know how this is going to play out,
I know.
Which is why it's so frustrating that Jody just doesn't simply say, here's $5 million. Thanks for your 3 years. Let's find somebody that can grow and develop with our young core of players that we are now clearly building around Scoot, Shaden, Avdija, Klingon, whoever else they get today, whatever other moves that they make. Let's start piecing this thing back together instead of having a year where you're not going to develop the culture and style of play with a head coach who's going to be around long-term with the young guys.
Very quickly, because I want to get your Duck football jersey reaction since all we've talked about is the Blazers and basketball.
Yeah.
Should I...
That's what I did yesterday.
Really?
I loved them, yeah.
I don't think they're awful, but
here comes Beaver Spray. Gonna poo-poo the unis. Oh, can't wait to hear. Sports bras over there. Didn't like them, huh?
Yeah, we got rid of them. We didn't bring them back. Should I follow Burt Cold back on Twitter?
Burt Cold followed you on Twitter?
Late last night.
Ah.
I thought, is this a man? Really?
Sure, why not?
What does Burt Cold tweet?
I
would be more curious about that than anything else.
Should I DM him? Thanks for the follow, Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Let's share stories of college.
Hey, Bert. I'll be Ernie. Scrub my back. Rubber ducky. Bert, why are you so mad, Bert? Is it because we're in a relationship and we can't tell anybody?
I think that's a follow back. Follow him back.
Okay.
See, let's get Bert on the show.
I knew that they were in a relationship when I was a child.
Yeah,
and I was like, why don't you guys just
admit it? Didn't take long to figure that one out.
You like them, though.
I love them, dude. I love them.
Okay. Love them. I like the connection to the past. The diamond plate bringing it back's great. Wings are cool. I got zero issues with them.
I was curious what direction they were going to go with them because it was kind of being teased.
Yeah.
They had the Phil Knight thing that they sent out, but...
Yeah, they've been teasing this for a while.
Yeah, I like
That's
the diamond
just one.
Plate.
We got other ones coming, too.
I got to be honest. I like the diamond plate.
The diamond plate's a heyday of Oregon football. I mean, those are great.
So. I have bad flashbacks of those feathers.
Yeah, the feathers were a thing. I'm not as big on the feathers. I'm glad that the diamond plate's on there.
Yeah.
The diamond plate was a must.
Not as bad as putting the goose on the court instead of an actual duck.
Oh, God. Would you shut up?
Did you notice that?
Would you shut up over there? Hey, that'll do it for us. Swag's going to be here tomorrow, breaking down round two of the NBA draft. We're both off.
A swaggy edition of Dirt and Spray.
Edition. It's a producer's edition. All the producers.
That's right. The producer's
we'll
edition.
Here. Who knows? You might get some NHL day one draft previews as well.
There you go.
Can you not? Okay.
There you go.
You can do whatever you want to do.
I said maybe.
Maybe. He's not guaranteeing it. Maybe. That will do it for us, folks. I'm off to play in a golf tournament. Sprague's off for the weekend. So we will talk to you all on Monday. Thanks, everybody, for YouTube numbers have been great. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so. Go check the podcast. Three great guests today. Awesome show. Fun show. Thanks for being a part of it. We will talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. Call on us next. Listen to 1080 The Fan. All right. Welcome back in. Been a fun show. I always love the post-draft show. It's one of the easiest ones of the year.
We won a championship, man.
We won a title yesterday. We're feeling good. Hang a banner. We winning another one in Vegas. We are the dynasty of summer league, are we not?
The Klinger might do it.
The Klinger could do it.
Definitely. You got to put odds on Klingon to be summer league MVP.
MVP.
That's
dominate
what
the
we
dojo.
Produce in Portland is summer league MVP.
This is what we do, baby.
I will say when Chase was describing Avdija's game, I did see Swag perk up in a way that I haven't seen in years.
You excited over there, Swaggard? You feeling good?
I was just thinking about, okay, how many times did I see Scoot out on a break with nobody next to him? Trying to finish through three guys. So I know he wants to play fast.
Yeah.
This guy wants to play fast.
Yeah.
I think Shaden would love to play fast. So just finally, maybe we'll see the Blazers actually follow through on wanting to be a transition team.
The next questions that I have for the offseason are, will I be able to watch them on television next year?
I mean, it's June. Can we talk about that in August?
Well, I'm just bringing it up.
You brought it up yesterday. All you do is bring this up.
You got a team.
I also don't have cable, by the way.
Yeah, I want to be able to watch the local team. That'd be great.
Get season tickets and shut up.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Get that Ken Barkley money.
I'd rather burn money. I hope I'm able to watch young team clinging. I think you're going to make some other trades that I'm a fan of. So you got me back in at least curious to watch and see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Now will I be able to actually do that? It's a big question for me in my life.
Well, and I think for anybody that's like skeptical and doesn't buy it and is like trying to act like we're taking this to a level that I don't think we really are. All legitimacy is they're not going to be very good still.
They shouldn't be. I want them to be the worst team in the NBA next year.
Well, they won't be, but they'll be really bad. And I think the part of it for me is like, this is what kind of does get you to watch a 26-win team. It's this.
Yes.
Yes.
It's seeing Klingon develop.
Yes. Young guys.
It's seeing Avdija. It's seeing what Scoot is year two. Sharp staying healthy, hopefully, for
year
three.
Can a distinctive style of play be developed?
Well, that's the other thing.
You don't have a coach.
And that
Sprague has said that throughout the day. The one big bummer is it feels like we're not in sync there.
It's a lame duck year, and I don't. Yeah, I didn't want to. Never mind.
Do it, dirt. Go down that road.
I'm not sure Chauncey's really that is excited about doing this for one more year.
Of course he's not. He knows he's going to get fired.
Yeah.
He knows that if they wanted to keep him around long term,
it would be fired. It would be not picking up an option and parting ways.
If they wanted him to be around long term, they would have picked up the option by now. They don't. He knows that they're going to win 20 games next year.
Yeah.
He knows that they're openly tanking, and he's not going to be kept around. They're not going to pick up his option. We all know how this is going to play out.
I know.
Which is why it's so frustrating that Jody just doesn't simply say, here's $5 million. Thanks for your 3 years. Let's find somebody that can grow and develop with our young core of players.
players that we are now clearly building around. Scoot, Shaden, Avdija, Klingon, whoever else they get today, whatever other moves that they make, let's start piecing this thing back together instead of having a year where you're not going to develop the culture and style of play with a head coach who's going to be around long-term with the young guys.
Very quickly, because I want to get your Duck football jersey reaction since all we've talked about is the Blazers and basketball.
Yeah.
Should I?
That's what I did yesterday.
Really?
I loved them, yeah.
I don't think they're awful, but I
Oh, Eric, here comes Beaver Spray. Going to poo-poo the unis. Oh, can't wait to hear. Sports bras over there. Didn't like them, huh?
Yeah, we got rid of them. We didn't bring them back. Should I follow Burt Cold back on Twitter?
Burt Cold followed you on Twitter?
Late last night.
Ah.
I thought, is this a man? Really?
Sure, why not?
What does Burt Cold tweet?
I would be more curious about that than anything else.
Should I DM him? Thanks for the follow, Bert.
Hey, Bert.
Let's share stories of college.
Hey, Bert. I'll be Ernie.
Scrub my back. Rubber ducky. Bert, why are you so mad, Bert? Is it because we're in a relationship and we can't tell anybody?
I think that's a follow back. Follow him back.
Okay.
See, let's get Bert on the show.
I knew that they were in a relationship when I was a child. Yeah, and I was like, why don't you guys just
admit take long to figure that one out.
You like them, though.
I love them, dude. I love them.
Okay.
Love them. I like the connection to the past. The diamond plate bringing it back's great. Wings are cool. I got zero issues with them.
I was curious what direction they were going to go with them because it was kind of being teased.
Yeah.
They had the Phil Knight thing that they sent out, but...
Yeah, they've been teasing this for a while.
Yeah, I like
That's
the diamond
just one.
Plate.
We got other ones coming, too.
I got to be honest. I like the diamond plate.
The diamond plate's a heyday of Oregon football. I mean, those are great. So.
I have bad flashbacks of those feathers.
Yeah, the feathers were a thing. I'm not as big on the feathers. I'm glad that the diamond plate's on there.
Yeah.
The diamond plate was a must.
Not as bad as putting the goose on the court instead of an actual duck.
Oh, God. Would you shut up?
Did you notice that?
Would you shut up over there? Hey, that'll do it for us. Swag's going to be here tomorrow, breaking down round two of the NBA draft. We're both off.
A swaggy edition of Dirt
Swaggy Spray. Edition.
It's a producer's edition. All the producers.
That's right. The producer's
we'll
edition.
Here. Who knows? You might get some NHL day one draft previews as well.
There you go.
Can you not? Okay.
There right. you go.
You can do whatever you want to do.
There I said maybe.
Maybe. He's not guaranteeing it. Maybe. That will do it for us, folks. I'm off to play in a golf tournament. Sprague's off for the weekend. So we will talk to you all on Monday. Thanks, everybody, for YouTube numbers have been great. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so. Go check the podcast. Three great guests today. Awesome show. Fun show. Thanks for being a part of it. We will talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. Call us next. Listen to 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.